الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ أخذنا من النبيين ميثاقهم ومنك ومن نوح وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى بن مريم، وأخذنا منهم ميثاقا غليظا ليسأل الصادقين عن صدقهم، وأعد للكافرين عذابا أليما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وإذ زاغت الأبصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر وتظنون بالله الظنونا. هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا. وإذ يقول المنافقون والذين في قلوبهم مرض ما وعدنا الله ورسوله إلا غرورا. وإذ قالت طائفة منهم يا أهل يثرب لا مقام لكم فارجعوا. ويستأذن فريق منهم النبي يقولون إن بيوتنا عورة وما هي بعورة إن يريدون إلا فرارا. ولو دخلت عليهم من أقطارها ثم سئلوا الفتنة لآتوها وما تلبثوا بها إلا يسيرا. ولقد كانوا عاهدوا الله من قبل لا يولون الأدبار وكان عهد الله مسؤولا. قل لن ينفعكم الفرار إن فررتم من الموت أو القتل وإذا لا تمتعون إلا قليلا. قل من ذا الذي يعصمكم من الله إن أراد بكم سوءا أو أراد بكم رحمة. ولا يجدون لهم من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا.
We're continuing inshallah Surah Al-Ahzab, and we're starting from ayah number 7. There are a couple of things which are going to be discussed today. First of all, the subject of this discussion will be an ahd, a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discuss and talk about the Ghazwatul Ahzab or Ghazwatul Khandaq. And this is basically what this surah is mainly about. So these are the two subjects of discussion today, inshallah. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. When we took from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam their promise. Mithaq, it means a promise or a contract. وَمِنْكَ, and from you, O Prophet of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمِنْ نُوحٍ, and from Nuh alayhi salam, and from Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Isa, son of Mary, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَأَخَذْنَا, and we took from them, مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا, a very strong promise, meaning a strong contract, a strong promise was taken from them. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned a few prophets here by name. And these prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, are known as Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, meaning the ones who had the highest in terms of highest status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in this ayah. Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned in this verse. Now what is the mithaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from the prophets? The mithaq is mentioned in another verse. And as we may have heard before, the tafsir of the Qur'an is best done by other verses of the Qur'an. Okay, so if one ayah is not very clear, then we refer to other verses in the Qur'an which will clarify that very ayah. So in another verse of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا
والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى بن مريم أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he again mentions something which is similar to this verse. The point is, أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. Establish the deen and don't differentiate in it. So all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came, and they gave exactly the same message. قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say that there's only one God worthy of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Him, تُفْلِحُ, you'll be successful. Okay? In this particular message, there was no difference between any of the prophets. All of them gave this same message. So this was the mithaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from them, that they had to fulfill this message in its entirety. So this is the same thing that was taken from all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is what that mithaq is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ, so that He can ask the truthful ones about their truth. So what is going to happen is, on the Day of Judgment, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are going to be brought forth, and they are going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did you give the message or not? Did you give the message or not? And then the people are going to be asked, did the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam give the message or not? Okay, so each one will obviously, the ones who are truthful will say that yes, he gave the message, we got the message, and we implemented the message. And of course, the liars on that day will even try to back out and say that we didn't get any message. So, لِيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the truthful ones will be asked about their truth, that did the message get conveyed to the people or not. As for the ones who were disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the disbelievers a very painful punishment. Meaning the ones who disputed, the ones who disobeyed, the ones who did not take the message of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and did not fulfill the same mithaq, the same promise that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came with, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very severely. Now, the subject changes here, and Ghazwatul Ahzab is going to be mentioned, which is also known as Ghazwatul Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. What was the reason for that? How did this come about? This is something that we all need to keep in mind. It's mentioned that there was a tribe called Bani Nadir, which the Prophet ﷺ had expelled from Medina. These people, they wanted revenge to, they wanted revenge from the Prophet ﷺ, and they wanted to avenge their expulsion by attacking the Muslims. So this was a tribe of Jews, and they went to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Quraysh, and amongst the people of Bani Nadir were a person named Salam ibn Abi al-Haqiq, Salam ibn Mushakkam, and Kanana ibn Rabi'. They went to Abu Sufyan and basically asked him to unite and get together and just attack the Muslims once and for all. Then after that, they went to a qabila, a tribe called Ghatfan, and they asked them to do the same. So they basically all agreed. They all agreed, and they accumulated all of their strength and all of their weaponry, all of their troops, and they numbered 10,000. When they numbered 10,000, they said, we're going to all get together and attack Medina and finish off this threat of Muslims once and for all. And when the Prophet ﷺ heard that they were coming, they had an ashura, and they took advice from Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, and they dug a trench on a portion of Medina. It wasn't all around Medina, it was in a portion of Medina, or in the exposed side of Medina. This is where they dug the trench. And from the back side, that was supposed to be protected by the by a group of Jews. They had a treaty with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that if anybody attacked Medina, then they would protect the Muslims. But of course, to cut a long story short, the Quraysh came, all of this Ahzab, this is why this surah is called Ahzab, it was the confederate army. Confederate meaning a group of all armies got together and they wanted to attack the Muslims. So this is Ghazwatul Ahzab, and it's called Ghazwat Khandaq because the Prophet ﷺ dug a trench under the advice of Salman al-Farsi. So they encamped around the city, waiting for something to happen to see that if they could get in to Medina. And before that could happen, they stayed for about a month or so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind and a darkness, and because of that, basically they had to retreat and they had to leave. But there wasn't actually a fight that took place. But of course, before they retreated, it was a very, very difficult time for the Muslims. Basically, they were running out of supplies, they were running out of food, and they basically thought that this was the end, because this was a huge army, and they felt that they were going to be killed. So there was a lot of tension in the air, and this is what the surah is about and what these verses are about. So the Jewish tribe were called Banu Qurayza that had a treaty with the Muslims, and one person from the Quraysh, he came to them. His name was Huyay ibn Akhtab, and he was the one who persuaded them to betray the Muslims. So they were basically about to allow the Quraysh and the Confederate army to attack from behind, where this Bani Qurayza was supposed to be protecting. But in any case, this is what this surah is about. Let's go through it. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned, especially when Muslims are being persecuted, they're under a lot of trouble. This surah is really something that we need to learn a lesson from, that what happens to those people that come under pressure and come under difficulty, at that point is when the true mu'min is separated from a person who's a munafiq, a hypocrite, and a person who is weak of faith. And this is exactly what happened. We will see as we go through the surah what happened to the munafiqeen, what happened to the people who had weak faith, and the people who had strong iman, how they dealt with the situation and how they stood with the Prophet ﷺ. That actually, their mention will be in next week's lesson. But in this week's lesson, what the munafiqeen did and the weak of iman, how they dealt with the situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. O people of iman, remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Idh ja'atkum junood, when armies came upon you. So all of these armies, Bani Nadir, Bani Ghutfan, the Quraysh, all got together. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and we sent upon them a wind and armies that you could not see. The Prophet ﷺ said that this wind that was sent to defeat this army was known as الصَّبَى. الصَّبَى was the wind that was sent to defeat the Ahzab. It's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, نُصِرْتُ بِالصَّبَى, I was helped with صَبَى, وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالدَّبُور, and Aad were destroyed with a wind which was called Dabur. Okay, so which was for سَبَعَ لَيَانِ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ, for 7 nights and 8 days continuously, it was sent upon the people of Aad and it destroyed them. It was known, according to the hadith, as Dabur. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind, وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and He sent armies that you could not see. So in addition to the wind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent malaika, angels, that helped and basically ripped apart their tents and their pots and everything, which they could not, that could not allow them to stay in one place. And everything was getting thrown everywhere, and they had no choice but to retreat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Muslims that remember how you were in such suspense and you had such difficulty, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this wind and destroyed and sent the people away. And this was also with the help of the angels. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching what you were all doing. Okay, so this verse actually, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah is seeing how you are reacting to that whole situation. Okay, And this reaction is the lesson really that we need to learn. That how do we react in times of turbulence, in times of difficulty, and look and think back about those weeks and those months, how we dealt with the situation after the tragic attacks of 9/11. You know, and you'll see some equation and some parallels there when you really think about it. So Allah says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُم مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. When they came from on top of you and from beneath you. Okay, so this can have two meanings. Either they came from north and also from the south, or they they encamped in a lower part of the outskirts of Medina and on a higher part of the outskirts of Medina. So a lower land and a higher land, that can also have the meaning. So, إِذْ جَاءُوكُم مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. When they came to you from on top of you and from underneath you, وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. When the eyes were shocked, when a person is in extreme fear, the first thing that happens, his eyes open up wide. When the eyes were open wide, وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. And the hearts reached the throats. When a person is really scared and nervous, it seems like his heart is in his throat. Okay, his heart is beating so fast, and his throat feels full, it seems like his heart has come up to his throat. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ وَظُنُونَ. And you started having misgivings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You started having thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so again, everybody thought that they're going to be destroyed, their families, their wives, their kids. So everybody was afraid that this is the final time and we cannot escape from this. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. There, the people of Iman were tested. And they were shaken, really shaken severely. And this is a beautiful method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, in Arabic, this is known as mafu'ul mutlaq. Okay, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. There, the mu'mineen were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا. زُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا, it's the fi'l, the verb is used twice. Zulzilu zilzalan, they were shaken severely. Okay, it's like if a person says darabtu means I hit darabtuhu. Okay, I hit that person. But if you say darabtuhu darban, I really hit him severely. I hit him hard. So darabtuhu darban, I hit him hard. So zulzilu zilzalan, they were shaken severely. But if you say ضَرَبْتُهُ ضَرْبًا شَدِيدًا, that has even more emphasis. I really, really beat him hard. Okay, here, again, زُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. They were shaken very, very, very severely. This was how difficult a time it was. And of course, they thought this was the end for them. So they were shaken very severely. And this phrase, this methodology in Arabic is known as the use of مَفْعُول مُطْلَق, to show emphasis about something. So the mu'mineen was shaken and tested, they were shaken severely. So now what did the munafiqeen do? The hypocrites, what was their reaction? وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. When the munafiqeen and those people that had marad, illness in their hearts, they said that Allah and His Prophet were only promising us false promises. They were making false promises to us. So all of this time, the Prophet ﷺ kept encouraging and telling the people that everything will be fine, have sabr, have patience. And at the time of Ghazwa Khandaq, the Sahaba, they have stones and rocks wrapped up around their stomachs to make themselves feel full. Sahabi comes up to the Prophet ﷺ and tells him, Ya Rasulullah, how much more do we have to take? We have gone through so much, and we've gone through so many difficulties. And he raises up his shirt to show that he has a rock tied to his stomach. The Prophet ﷺ lifts his blessed shirt up, and he has two rocks tied to his stomach. So this difficulty was in front of their eyes. And the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging them and telling them to have sabr. And even while the trenches are being dug, The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is, you know, giving glad tidings about future victories. You know that story about how the Sahaba, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam during the digging, and they said, there's a big rock that we cannot move. What shall we do? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he went down in the trench himself, and he took the pickaxe, and he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock, he saw sparks, there were sparks flying out of it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that in these sparks, I see that we are getting victory over the Romans. And then he hit it twice, the second time, and more sparks flew out. And in this he said, I see you getting victory over the lands of Sham, the Syria. And I see the palaces of Sham, you know, in your grasp. And the third time, he hit it, he said, I see the palaces of Yemen in your grasp. So, you know, this is something completely illogical to a person who has no iman. Especially the hypocrites, they're saying, we don't know where the next meal is coming from. We don't know where our food is coming from. And here he is, he's telling us about the palaces of Yemen and Sham and Rome. Okay, so you can imagine that how a person who has weak iman is going to react to that. Basically, they're facing death. They're facing this huge defeat with 10,000 people, 10,000 troops encircled Medina. And their reaction, obviously, because of the weakness of their iman is, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah and His Prophet, they've been making false promises to us. Even until the last minute, while the trench is being dug, the Prophet is making them promises. So, obviously, this was the claim of the munafiqeen. And they went on to say, the munafiqeen, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا. A group from amongst them, they said, O people of Yathrib, Yathrib was the old name for Medina, لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا. There is no standing here for you. You're going to be defeated, and you're going to be defeated very badly. Go back. Admit defeat, go into your houses, and basically just, you know, don't even think about getting victory in this situation because we're done for. We're going to be doomed. Okay, so basically, negativity was what they had in them, and they were feeding negativity to the people around them. This was how the munafiqeen dealt with the situation. وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمُ النَّبِيِّ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عُورَةٌ وَمَا هِيَ بِعُورَةٍ إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. And a group from amongst them, they were taking permission from the Prophet ﷺ and claiming that our houses are exposed. Meaning if we get attacked, our houses are exposed to the enemy and we need to go home and protect our wives and kids. Because if we don't, then our wives and kids are going to be killed. So this was the claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no. Their houses were not exposed. وَمَا هِيَ بِعُورَةٍ. Their houses were not exposed to the enemy. إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. The only thing they wanted to do was run away. So again, this shows the munafiqeen and the people who were weak of iman, how was their reaction. And now think back about how everybody basically went into their shell after 9/11. Nobody wants to go outside. Nobody wants to go do the shopping. There's fatwas flying around about shaving your beards and removing your hijab and doing this, that and the other. Just think back how we reacted, how you reacted, okay? And think about the munafiqeen and how they're reacting to this horrendous situation where they think they're going to be killed, okay? Nobody thought, or it wasn't, you know, it wasn't in anybody's mind, in the majority of people's minds, that they're going to get killed, but still they felt that they were unsafe. And what was the reaction? You know, just think back and, you know, you can remember all of those, you know, strange things that happened. So anyway, the verse goes on to say, so the people who were claiming to the Prophet ﷺ that our houses were exposed were Banu Haritha. They were the ones that went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, we want to go home because our houses are exposed. Allah says, no, the houses were not exposed, they just wanted to run away. Allah also goes on to say about them, وَلَوْ دُخِلَتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَخْطَارِهَا ثُمَّ سُئِلُوا الْفِتْنَةَ لَآتَوْهَا وَمَا تَلَبَّثُوا بِهَا إِلَّا يَسِيرًا. If their houses, if their houses were entered upon, meaning if the enemy entered upon the houses, and they were asked fitna, they were asked al-fitna, al-fitna means a trial, a tribulation, but here it means that if they were asked to leave iman, to leave Islam, la'atawha, then they would bring it forth, meaning they would do that. If they were told to leave Islam, their iman is so weak that they would even do that, وَمَا تَلَبَّثُوا بِهَا إِلَّا يَسِيرًا, and they would not even wait for a second. You know, they would say, no, we left Islam already. You know, we just leave us alone, leave our families alone, we've left Islam. Now the question is, can you do that when your life is in danger? Then you can. The ruling is that if your life is in danger, somebody's putting a gun to your head and telling you that if you don't leave Islam, I'm going to kill you, then you're allowed to say that I'm not a Muslim and I've left Islam. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. The one who is forced and his heart is mutmain with iman, he knows inside internally that he has iman, then to save himself and to save his family, then he's allowed to do that. But here, it's not an issue of a weakness of iman as such. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically criticizing them for being weak in the face of adversity, even while the Prophet ﷺ is there and he's putting everybody's mind at ease. But their weakness in this situation and not having the courage to stand in front of the enemy, this is what is being criticized over here. So Allah says that if they were entered upon, if their houses were entered upon, and they were asked al-fitna, they were asked to leave Islam, they would even leave Islam, and they would not wait for a second. وَلَقَدْ كَانُوا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلِ لَا يُوَلْهُونَ الْأَدْبَارِ. And indeed, they had made a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would not turn their backs. They would face the enemy, they would fight the enemy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ عَهْدُ اللَّهِ مَسْؤُولًا. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that is going to go unnoticed. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mas'ul, meaning it is something that will be questioned about. The people will be questioned about this promise that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they would not turn their backs. But yet they want to turn their backs and run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them and says, قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ أَوِ الْقَتْلِ وَإِذَا لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah says that running away is never going to benefit you. If you run away from death or you run away from being killed, Allah says that indeed then you will not be given a chance except very little. Meaning when the time is written for you to die or to be killed, you're going to die. Okay, when the time is written, you will die. So it doesn't matter if you run or if you stand your ground, whatever has been written for you, it will happen. So even if you run away, وَإِذَنْ لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, small benefit of time, and then what is written for you, it will happen to you. The next verse, قُلْ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ سُوءًا أَوْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ رَحْمَةً وَلَا يَجِدُونَ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Say to them, say, O Prophet of Allah, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي, who is the one, يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, who is going to save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you're running now, you're turning your backs now, and you're not facing the enemy now, but on the Day of Judgment, who is going to save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or, who is going to save you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In arada bikum su'a, if he has an intention to bring harm to you, or even if he has an intention to bring rahmah and mercy to you, who can stop you? Who can stop that from happening? Nobody can stop that from happening. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. And they will not find for themselves, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a friend or a helper. Ultimately, we have to turn only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are in problems, if we are in difficulties, who must we turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that we should raise our hands to, and He is the one that we should make dua to. Of course, we should take asbab as much as possible, but ultimately, the help and the one who turns people's hearts is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who helps us. So here Allah says, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. The people who run away and turn their backs, ultimately, who do they have to turn to? They will have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and for assistance, because He is the one who will help them. Next week, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what was the reaction of the people who had true iman and how they reacted to the situation. Inshallah, we will cover that in next week's lesson. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.